Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk again about the Kingdom of God. And we were talking about Osho, the King of the Soy Sauce, whatever that means. But Osho was this guru that people followed and did ridiculous things, gave up their wealth, gave up their lives, and meshed themselves with somebody who ended up, you know, at least the elite of their group ended up poisoning people and attempting to murder people and all the signs of a controlling society, talking about freedom, promising them liberty, and delivering them into a bondage where he squandered millions and millions of dollars on himself and the self-indulgent, decadent lifestyle right in front of them. And even after his death, people are still praising him. You can find his picture all over the internet as if he was some bright and shining star. He was a drug addict. He was a user of people. And he died from his debauchery and promiscuous lifestyle. He was not giving life. Now, I'm sure there are lots of people who will defend him and talk about what a great man he was and what a deep thinker he was, but he was a user of drugs and people. Now, he's a public figure, and I'm not going to pick on the individual guy because there are many guys like that out in the world. A lot of them are in politics. They want to use people. I mean, how many scandals have you heard of somebody who is sleeping around or using people or taking graft and corruption? You have to almost be a little narcissistic in order to even run for public office. You have to desire power. You're not going to find a lot of virtuous people running for public office to obtain a position of power, because we were not to be that way as Christians. We were not to exercise authority one over the other. We were to live by the perfect law of liberty. And this is what's so amazing that people are talking about. We have to elect our Christian candidate. If you're a Christian, why are you electing a king at all? Why are you electing a ruler? Oh, this is the government we have. No, we have several governments in the world today. In whatever country you are, there are alternative governments. You can't make the one go away. I mean, it's like, kind of like having a grizzly bear. You live in grizzly bear country, there's going to be grizzly bears. And you learn how to navigate around those grizzly bears. And you don't go poking them with a stick. You don't go making trouble. But you actually govern yourself in another way. Your benefits, where are they coming from? Your assistance, who are you going to call when there's a problem? And of course, the church is defined as one form of government. It's a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. It has ministers. They're titular in authority. They don't exercise authority, but they can be assisting you in seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not telling you just how to do it, although they will profess the truth, but they actually have a function to provide pure religion for society, which is the way in which you take care of the needy of your society. And your society will be bound together by this charity and honor and faith and hope in this perfect law of liberty through an anarchical society, right? Because the church is really anarchical, because you can't exercise authority one over the other. The way you get higher in the church is not by offices of power, but offices of service. So the church is an anarchy because it doesn't have the archy. Archy means ruler. There is no ruler in the church. We are ruled in our hearts. Now, we can say, I don't want to have anything to do with this guy because of his iniquity, because of his sin, because of his habits, because of his abuse. And, you know, and Paul gives us a whole list of guys to stay away from. So what is the kind of government that the church is? Well, in one sense, it's a republic. A republic is not a democracy, and the church is not a democracy. We can't vote Jesus in or vote Jesus out. We're not electing men who exercise authority. But we have some sort of way in which we gather together and get things done. And we do this in congregations, usually of 10 families, and then they gather with other congregations like themselves. But what they really are is kind of an adhocracy. They're not really a bureaucracy, they're an adhocracy. They perform the functions of what is bureaucracy in other governments. They provide for the needy of society. They don't do it by exercising authority. They do it by exercising service. And an adhocracy is primarily a structureless organization used to solve various problems. It is a type of organization that operates in opposite fashion to a bureaucracy. It's not top down, it's bottom up. Now, there is some kind of structure, but it's not an authoritarian structure. It's like, I trust you to get certain things done. But you have this Presbyterian religion wandering around, and the word presbyter comes from the word that we translate elder, because the elders of the congregation, the heads of each family, are critical in determining the direction of the church and what it can do and what it can't do and what it has power to do. Now, they can't dictate this, but they hold the purse strings because they release the offerings from their pocket into the pocket of the minister. And they only should be giving to ministers who are setting up the Corban of Jesus Christ, and not the ones who say, go use the Corban of men who exercise authority one over the other, the sacrifice of men who exercise authority one over the other. This is just absolutely amazing. Anybody who studies the history of the early church realizes that they could no longer, Christians no longer, by the thousand, Christians were Jews in Judea. The first ones who got baptized at Pentecost were Jews by the thousands, accepting Jesus Christ as the king, therefore getting his baptism instead of Herod's baptism, and saying, we're going to live by faith, hope, and charity. We're not going to live by the force and the bureaucracy filled with Pharisees and scribes who are compelling the offerings of the people in a system of Corban that makes the word of God to none effect. We're going to operate by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. In order to do this, we had to organize into groups of 10 families, picking a minister. Those ministers gather together with 9 other ministers like themselves, and they pick a minister, and they create this living network overnight on Pentecost, because immediately they're going to have to take care of the daily ministration, the social welfare of their society. And they're getting some old people. And they're getting some widows. Why they say widows all the time? Widows and orphans. The family has broken down and can't take care of all the needs of their loved ones. And the ones in their family in need. Because, you know, sons have died and fathers are sick or whatever. So they need help. If your family is big and strong, they can handle it. If your family is big and strong, but you're poor, you may need some assistance. But it's the idea of individual responsibility, yet they knew they needed a way to govern themselves to take care of the needy of their society, because that was the definition of religion. That's why God from the beginning told us to love our neighbors. That's why God from the beginning wanted us to gather together in love for one another, caring for one another. And of course, Cain wanted people to gather together too, but under his authority, exercising authority. We weren't to do that. You had to go out of the presence of God to do that. Nimrod wanted to do that, but we weren't supposed to follow Nimrod. The king of Sodom did this. Lamech did this. We weren't supposed to go that way. We were supposed to go the ways of righteousness, free will offerings. And we see the same thing with Moses when the people are in bondage in Egypt. They went into bondage because they sold their brother into bondage. You're in bondage because you put your brother into bondage. And you yourself went in because you desired the benefits of men who exercise authority. You wanted somebody in authority to force your neighbor to contribute for your social welfare. Guarantee it. You couldn't live by faith. And it's just amazing. All these people go to church, oh, I believe in Jesus. But they don't live by faith. They are following gurus no different than Osho. That may be even worse than him. They rob widows and orphans. They take from people by force. They are trying to establish a kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of God by force. Everybody who's going out and voting for a new leader to exercise authority because they want their Christian leader in place. And they can certainly go do this. I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just telling you what you're doing. Every time you do that, you're just electing a new Saul. And it will not change the rules and the principles laid down by Samuel. No matter who you elect, you will corrupt him. And eventually he will take and take and take and take and take, and you will cry out, and the Lord will not hear you because you would not let God reign over you. You wanted some other man, president, potentate, king or ruler, to exercise authority over you and your neighbor to make sure your neighbor contributed to your welfare. You wanted to have one purse of rights, and you wanted that control. That's not a republic. That's a democracy, indirect democracy, which leads to socialism, which leads to communism, which leads to totalitarianism. And it has throughout history. And it will continue to do so. And it will weaken society. So anyway, this adhocracy is a term first popularized back in 1970 by Alvin Toffler. And since become often used in the theory of management of organizations, particularly online organizations, such as kind of Wikipedia. We often think of the idea of government means to rule. And it can, but really, government simply means how to govern yourself. How are you governing yourselves? That's why the church is defined as one form of government. Because it's one way to do that. And so I wrote a page for the record. You can find it on the Preparing You. And what we're doing at the Preparing You site is everybody can become editors. It's like a wiki site. And the idea is that you can start putting in information that helps prepare people for liberty under God, because today people are not ready for that. If you were to suddenly free everybody, like the Christians were freed at Pentecost, they were opting out of one system of social welfare. There's still a temporal governments around, and they can live in temporal governments and participate in there. But their social welfare was private. They did not look to men who exercise authority, the right hand of government, to guarantee their social welfare, because that's a system of Corbin that makes the word of God to none effect. They took care of one another by faith, hope, and charity. The Amish kind of do this. They're just about the last people in America to do it. But all churches used to do it. But they have given away their responsibility to a government that exercises authority. Exactly what Jesus said not to do. And yet they still say they're following Jesus. They're not. They've betrayed Jesus. And they betray his teachings. So anyway, for the record, I state all the problems in the world stem from several choices many people do not know they have or how to make. There are several concepts often present in the collective thinking of a society which are misleading the people. This brings the people into error because of a lack of knowledge. And if you go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge." In other words, I'm telling you, and Samuel told you, you should not be electing men to exercise authority one over the other, to protect you and to guarantee your social welfare. Because such systems of social welfare our snare. David said this. Paul said this. Throughout Proverbs, you see it. It's a snare. It brings you back into bondage when you do this. I mean, even Plutarch said it. The greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. Because thou hast rejected this knowledge and understanding that if you go that way, it will bring you into bondage and bring you back a slave to the rudiments of the world. Hosea goes on to say that when you do that, reject that knowledge, I will also reject you, which is what Samuel was saying, that when you cry out, God's not going to hear you. You're already rejected because you already rejected him. That thou shall be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. You're cursing your children. Because what is the law of God? Love God, yes, but love your neighbor as yourself. And it is not love to use the men who call themselves benefactors, but are only benefactors because they take away from society, members of society, to redistribute wealth. That is the antithesis of what Christianity was. Yet there are so many people out there calling themselves Christians and do that daily. Encourage that in their local governments and in their national governments and countries all over the world. And it leads to the destruction of society. It erodes the very virtue of society. And we need to repent of this. And this is what, until John the Baptist, people were trying to do this all the time by force. And that's what those two quotes in the Bible are saying. And he said, no. Even if we are shown the truth of what we are missing, we will not understand it if we are not willing to see the whole truth and provide for it. Now, that's very important. You know, a lot of people see that the world systems have gone down this socialist, progressive socialist agenda, and they don't like it, and they don't want to be a part of it, and they even want to cheat the government. Wrong. You have to see that. You may have to pay your tally of bricks. You may have to give to Caesar what is Caesar's because you made a deal. You've accepted the benefits. You've become collateral for the debt. And all these nations all over the world are in debt. But you have to be willing to see the truth of that, that you are in the bondage of Egypt again. But now you need to provide for the alternative. That's what you must do because of the sacrifice of the red heifer. And eventually we're going to do a program on that, and we're going to lay that out for you. Red heifer, only mentioned once. Red heifer. What is that? Nothing to do with red, nothing to do with the heifer. And why do we are called to do that? Because we are sinners. And we can't get back to where we need to be unless we begin the sacrifice of the red heifer. People actually think that you're going to have to find some purely red heifer without spot or blemish and kill it over there in Jerusalem. It has to be done outside the camp. And then the sacrifice of the Holy Temple will start again and they'll rebuild the temple on the Temple Mount and all that stuff. They're completely lost. They haven't got a clue what the Bible's talking about. They don't know what it means, the sacrifice of the red heifer. They don't know what it means to be the Holy Temple. It's not a building. It's a way of life, and it's a way that gives life more abundant, because it's a way that requires you to lay down your life daily by choice, free will choice. The power of the state is in your hands. You don't have that now, and you can't just erase the reality of today. You have to change inside, and it will begin to have a force and effect, quantum force and effect, and change the outside. You cannot change this from the top down without getting more dictators. You must change this from the bottom up, and the bottom I'm talking about is the bottom of your heart. Yes, it's often the redefining of words which may lead to our confusion and misunderstanding rather than reveal a more obvious truth. Even if we are shown the truth of what we are missing, we will not understand it if we are not willing to see that whole truth and provide for it. Almost every doctrine and eschatology of modern churches and religions in general are missing some of the essential elements of the teachings of the prophets of old, and as well as the teachings of Jesus Christ. I was shocked reading the doctrines of churches and that had very little of what Jesus actually said. While the definition of the church is this society, this one form of government that promotes the doctrines of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ established the church. That's the legal definition. This has made the modern church impotent, this rejecting the actual doctrines, such as, it is not to be that way with you. When he appointed the kingdom to the apostles, I appoint unto you a kingdom. He said, you are not to be like the governments of the other nation who exercise authority. We were to be benefactors who exercise love and charity and hope through faith, but not exercise authority. But what they have done is that you don't have churches out there now, although there's been periods of time when the churches were coming in with swords and burning people at the stake and driving them out of their homes and inquisitions, etc. But now they crown the government to perform the inquisitions, to compel the offerings of the people, which is why Lady Godiva is on the cover of our Free Church Report. But you have to begin to provide for that truth, and the truth is that if you want to be free, you must provide for one another freely. You must give freely. Freely give, freely receive. But the modern Christian church doesn't do that anymore. They've abandoned pure religion for superstition, what the Romans called superstitio. What they think about God, they think is faith, and not what you do about God. They just cringe at the idea of doing. And like I said, in Psalm 69:22, we say, let their table become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Proverbs 11:9. And David saith, he's quoting David, he's read that same quote, 69:22. Let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. That table is where you go to get your daily bread. It's when you sit and eat with rulers. And Proverbs tells you, put a knife to your throat. But you haven't done that, and your preachers aren't telling you that, because their doctrines don't have anything to do, or very little to do, with the whole truth of the Bible. Peter says you'll become merchandise. How? How will you become collateral for debt, merchandise? How will this happen to you? He says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and damnation slumbereth not. Covetousness. You wanted benefits at the expense of your neighbor, and you wanted to elect men who could exercise authority and guarantee those benefits. Contrary to what Proverbs says, Psalm says, Paul says, Jesus says, Moses said, you are to do this by love. And you can't do that unless you gather together as a matter of record and number in your heart, not in some scribe's tally book, but number in your heart who you're going to take care of. You're going to try to take care of everybody in your congregation, and at the same time, and if you don't do this, you're not seeking the kingdom. At the same time, you have to care about neighboring congregations as much as your own congregation. Equally. Equally. Can you do that? So half of everything you give goes to take care of all the elderly, all the sick, all the infirm people within your congregation, so that no one has to go to men who exercise authority one over the other, calling themselves benefactors. No one in your congregation should have to do that. That's a huge jump. You're not going to make that all at once. You have to work up to that. And there are ways to do that. But you have to do it in conjunction with others. You're going to need help. You don't even know how to organize that because you're going to need other people. But that's only half of what you give. The other half should go out to the entire network, through a network of ministers throughout the world that you choose, grassroots, from the bottom up. It's not going to be supported by some wealthy company. We've had people come and wanted to support this, but they always have strings. We can't have the strings. You have to let go. And there's a lot of problems to overcome because the world is making it more and more difficult to have pure religion. They've almost outlawed it like they did back in 200 AD. They outlawed, when they outlawed the church, they were outlawing private religion. They called it foreign and private. And why did they call it foreign and private religion? Because that's what the church was doing, taking care of the needy of its society. They wanted everyone to belong to their system, and they weren't giving out exemptions easily. Eventually, they had to relent even to their persecution of the church, but the reality was that's why they were persecuting the church. In Galatians 2:4, and that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage again. Well, it's happened, and your ministers are to blame. And as soon as they admit it and repent, they're forgiven. They owe their recompense to God only, not to me, but I'm going to continue to rebuke them. You keep giving them money so that they make you feel comfortable once a week, but you're not practicing the religion taught by Christ because you're not taking care of one another. You're still, your religion is the state. That's who takes care of you. We'll be right back to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to Keys to the Kingdom. In Galatians 4:3, it says, "Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." And that world was the constitutional order and systems of government of men. We were to have no agreement, make no covenants or contracts with them where we go that would bind us. And that's what you do when you apply for these benefits. You bind yourself into a system. Some simple doctrines of the prophets of God that are not always taught in churches, or seldom even taught in churches today, are that you are to love God of heaven with your whole heart, mind, and soul, which includes the directive that you are not to make covenants, not to make agreements. What agreements do you have with people who do not believe in charity, who believe in force? Christ did not believe in force. He believed in charity and love. And any nation that believes in force is not a Christian nation. Force for taking care of the needy of their society. I mean, obviously you can use force to protect yourself from an enemy invasion or something, but you're not supposed to use force to take care of the needy of your society. That must be done by charity, or it will change the whole nature of your society. So you are not to make any covenants with men who could rule over you that you will end up having to bow down and serve, work for. You know, it's just Exodus 23:32, "Thou shalt make no covenants with them, nor with their gods," their ruling judges. In Exodus 25, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them," that means, "and to serve them, for I am the Lord thy God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and fourth generations of them that hate me." Hate me? Does God hate them? Oh, God is love. It says He hates the Nicolaitan. And what are the Nicolaitans? Those are the ones who make covenants in order to obtain benefits. And that's what people have done. And they make them with ruling judges, the God's many that Paul talks about. When you give up your rights by making covenants with other men, giving them the power to make choices on your behalf, you are waiving your right, your inalienable rights, your endowed rights given to you by God, and giving somebody else the responsibility. And this is what they did when they elected Saul. And that was considered rejection of God, because you're rejecting the gifts of God. And we should not be doing that. Just read 1 Samuel 8. "And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people, and all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." How does God reign over them? He reigns over them in your hearts and in your minds, in the minds of every elder in the congregation, who help guide the ministers of the church. Now, the ministers have conscience too, and they will decide. But see, the power rests with the people, because the people either give or they don't give. And if you don't do this, if you don't provide for the truth in service to God by serving one another, then you will again be entangled in the elements of the world, the rudiments of the world. Galatians 4:3. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage unto the elements of the world. But we see in Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you. That's what happens when you're conquered, like the Nicolaitans. Spoil you through philosophy and vain deceits after the traditions of men, the ordinances of men, the regulation of men, after the rudiments, that's the elements of the world, the constitutional orders and systems of government, and not after Christ. Colossians 2:20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, which they did when they got baptized, they were cast out of the rudiments of the world, the elements of the world, the social welfare system of the Pharisees, the constitutional order and system of government of the Pharisees, they were cast out of that. Why, as though living in the world, are we subject to ordinances? Why are we subject to these ordinances and these traditions? Because we went back and applied for those benefits. And we didn't know any better. We lack knowledge. But we lack knowledge because our ministers are not preaching the whole gospel of the kingdom. And that word world there is that Greek word that means an apt and harmonious arrangement or constitution, order, government. So anyway, we need to return to the Corban of Christ. Corban was the systems of social welfare. They had them in Rome. They mentioned them in the Quran. They mentioned them in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's even translated treasury because there's this treasury where money is kept to provide for the needy of society. And they had riots because of government projects were taking money out of that was not meant originally for the social welfare. And people complained. They saw it becoming bankrupt. And they didn't like it. So what is a minister? What is religion? Religion is how you take care. Both the church and the state have ministers or administers. They have an administration. And both have rituals and rites and ceremonies. The word ritual is from the Latin ritualis, meaning that which perhaps pertains to the rite or ritus, which was used by the Romans in both juridical and religious contexts, because there's not much difference. The word rite was simply the customary way of doing something. What's the customary way of taking care of the widows and orphans? Through men who exercise authority or through the church? Well, it used to be through the church, but that has changed. And this is the root cause of all the problems in the world today. It is the tap root of modern corruption. The original concept of this ritus had to do with the law and regular order of the normal, and therefore proper, natural, and true structure of society. Prescribed order of performing religious service. What is religious service? If it's how you take care of the needy of your society. But if you think religious service is, you know, blowing smoke and singing songs and sitting in the pew listening to a sermon, where'd you get that idea? Because that's not what they were doing. They were feeding the needy and taking care of them and healing them. That's service. If you change the meaning of words like religion, then the term religious service will be altered too. The rituals are rites by which society fulfills its obligation and duty to the fellow members of society. See, your religion is these institutions. Religious services were simply helping people of society through the rites and rituals of society and through the hard times and difficult times in society. But it was done by the people, for the people, through the people. Because it was a way of self-government, it was done by charity, by voluntarism. That used to be one of the most remarkable things in America. It's what made America great and made many of the European countries great and what is now horribly, horribly vacant. And even the systems by which to do it. The churches no longer even know how to do it. Those servants who manage the contributions of society for its benefit and fulfillment of its duty to their gods and their fellow man are the priests of society, the Kohens of society, because that's what priests were for. They were actually performing a service, a real service in society, at least at one time, but are more often called bureaucrats today. Those are your priests. Those bureaucrats are the priests, the people down there at the administration who provide for the widows and orphans and needy of your society. Those are your priests. Problem is, those priests exercise authority one over the other because you don't live by faith, hope, and charity. You live by force. The word priest is also defined as a mediatory agent between humans and one or more deity. That's not really completely true, but it's a very interesting term, mediatory agent. Someone asked me the other day, is a vicar the same as a mediatory agent? A vicar is, by definition, a substitute. We have this tendency to call a vicar a representative, but the Latin word for representative is legatus. The Latin word for substitute is vicar. But a mediatory agent, someone who helps mediate a solution, they don't talk to God and then tell you what God is saying. They're a mediatory agent. In other words, because they're an agent, they are to facilitate the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. How do they do that? Your duty is to take care of your parents. To make sure your parents are provided for. That's what it means to honor thy father and thy mother. That's your job. Is everybody in your church taking care of their parents solely by free will offerings? Or do you depend upon a Corban set up by men who exercise authority one over the other, who call themselves benefactors, and they're going to take care of your parents, and you say, hey, it's not my responsibility anymore. It's Corbin. No, it is your responsibility. It is your responsibility. Christ did not alleviate that. But you've given it to somebody else, and when you did that, you gave them power. And now that power is going to corrupt them, and you're going to end up bankrupt, and you're going to cry out to God. He's not going to hear you. You've done everything the opposite of what God said to do. You gave men power. You failed to take care of the needy of your society through faith, hope, and charity. You decided to all have one purse. You decided to sit and eat with a ruler. And you were a man of appetite and you didn't put a knife to your throat. You ate heartily. And now they have more and more courses coming on and you're saying, oh, it's too much, it's too much. Too late. And you don't have what it takes to pay for supper. So they're going to have you doing dishes to eternity. Because they never intend to let you pay off the debt. And if God did not shorten the days, everybody would be perish in this system. No, a minister, a priest, is to be a mediatory agent. He is to help you help one another. The ministers of your church are from the government, and they should be there to help. And helping is not helping by deluding you into thinking you are saved when you are not saved. Deluding you into thinking that you believe in Jesus when they're not even telling you what Jesus said to do. Jesus said, not those who say, Lord, Lord, not those who say, I believe in Jesus, but those who do the will of the Father. And he did not change that, and Paul did not change that. But your ministers have. They have crept into your thinking, deluded you into foolishness. It's time you repent. The priests were not mediators between God and the people, but mediatory agents, helping you fulfill your duty to your fellow man by keeping track. You can't run to every household in your congregation every day. You can't run to every household in the whole network of congregations. So you pick men you trust that are going to see to it that all 10 families are checked on, and he checks with the other ministers in his own congregation of ministers to see if there's any families out there in need. And if you would begin to work in this direction, you would have not only the alternative system that will be absolutely necessary when the modern system faileth, but you would have the means by which to bring hue and cry back into society, virtue back into society, righteousness back into your society. And then, in your day of calamity, God will hear your prayers. But you have to be on the way back. You can't even do it all yourself, but you've got to be on the way back. That means you've got to repent, turn away from the way you've been going, and start going back the way we used to do it. While a mediatory is merely to serve as a medium of causing a result or transforming objects, information, etc., Israel was the theory, was the theocratic republic, where God was to rule through the hearts of the people. The Levites were priests who were just mediatory agents in this, serving the tabernacles of the congregation, the tents of the congregations. Through faith, hope, and charity, all free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings. They were the priests of that society that was to love one another. No different in the early church. Definitely different in the modern church. The modern church talks about love, but they don't put their money where their mouth is. When they actually need money to help out one another, they go to men who call themselves benefactors, who they have made covenants with, contracts with, under oaths. They have made these agreements. Even though those ministers do not believe in faith, hope, and charity, they believe in full faith and credit, with an emphasis on the credit, but they don't believe in love. This is why your society is in trouble. This is why your nation is on the verge of self-destruction. And the only thing you can do about it, you cannot elect enough people to change the course of this ship. What you can do is change the course of your own life by repenting, gathering together. Start gathering together on our living network. Start finding more and more people who will gather together with this goal in mind. You're not going to jump into this. You have gone so far away, you would drown if you were suddenly cast into a situation where you had to take care of one another. You're not ready. Can you imagine if they were going to all let you go free? Even by the end of the year, you wouldn't make it. You wouldn't be ready. You're going to have to go through some hard times, and God will provide those shortly. So, you know, actually I heard a fairly famous politician saying he thought there was a collapse coming. I don't know. It could be tomorrow. It could be in 4 months. 4 months, that's not much time to prepare. And I've heard this and heard this, but the fact is there has been collapses. Millions upon millions of people have lost their homes, lost their life savings. Tremendous burdens being placed upon the people every time you turn around, and they're only going to get worse and worse and worse. There is an alternative, and that alternative is Christ and Christ's way. And his way is not being taught in the churches. I actually know a guy, I respect him a great deal as an individual, but he doesn't understand kingdom. He isn't a minister of God. He's out there trying to conjure up the vote like somehow or other the majority is going to elect the right Caesar to fix things. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You're spinning your wheels in the wrong direction. Repent. Turn around. Start changing your ways. Those assemblies donated to the ministers of their choice who acted as voluntary health, education, welfare, small business administration. We just had one of our business calls trying to help people start their own business in the system so that they become financially solvent and independent as individuals, but also depending upon the community of the congregation to help make their business a success. We reach out into the resources of this network to find what you need, the mentors you need to help you get started. Because we're the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. We don't exercise authority one over the other. But we do come to serve one another because we love our neighbor as ourselves. That's what it's all about. Can you imagine if we were all doing that instead of coveting our neighbor's goods and working the system? The system wouldn't be bankrupt. It would be very small, too. But now, how many people who call themselves Christians want to do that? They'll say, oh, no, I like my benefits. Even though they know every benefit they take curses their children because the system is bankrupt. They worry about the government's fiscal responsibility, but they are to blame. Because they're supposed to be the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, but they're the government of socialists and progressive socialists who are out there wanting to take more and more and more away from. I just saw an audio from years ago by Paul Harvey. Predicted all this stuff. It's just unbelievable. We put it up on the net. It's up there on the net. It's If I Were the Devil talk. And it's all over. It's very interesting. Anyway, so where does the laity come in? Elders are the presbyters of the congregation. The heads of every family is an elder. It's not an office of the church. It's an office of the family. The head of the family is an elder, a presbyter. And they get together and they hold the purse strings of the kingdom. They are the ones who contribute, but they must contribute and let go to a minister so that he can act freely. If they want to control him, somebody will control them. And this is part of the temptation. They thought, well, we can elect our leaders and then we can control them. And if they misuse the money, we can vote them out. It doesn't work that way because most of the people are selfish. They will bankrupt your system. Hundreds of years ago, men like Benjamin Franklin were telling you this, that a democracy will bankrupt itself as soon as the people know they can vote in benefits. You can't do that in a congregation. You can contribute, but the minister is the one who decides how to spend the money. If he doesn't do well, then you can change ministers. Go to another congregation. And the ministers who don't do a good job are going to get elders who don't do a good job, because the job of the elder is to keep that minister clean and pure and a servant. Don't put them up on a pedestal. We had to talk about that. Follow the ways of Christ in the early church and you will find the salvation of Christ. Follow the way of the modern church and you will stay in the bondage of Egypt. Christians today, people calling themselves Christians today, are hated by God and Christ because they have let themselves be conquered, the Nicolaitans, the error of Balaam, by their own greed and covetousness. They have been brought back into bondage. Repent. Turn around. Let's go the other way. Let's be those other kind of people. Join us on the Living Network. LivingNetwork.org. Go to HisHolyChurch.org and join the network there. PreparingYou.com. And you can join the network there. It's all the same network. Start becoming involved. Provide for the whole truth. Until then, may peace be upon your house and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.